Let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, and please turn over to Psalm number 22. If I were to say to you, what is the most important event in world history, what would your answer be? Now, don't answer out loud, but just think about that. What's the most important event in world history? There's no doubt, if you're a believer, you know the answer to that question. And that is this. It's the day when Jesus Christ, God's Son, hung on a cross outside of Jerusalem. I'm sure that many that day failed to realize the impact and the importance. They failed to understand, many people who witnessed it that day, that this event would be the focal point of all history. But to us who are saved, we understand this. To those of us who know the Lord, we understand the significance. Look with me in your handout. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18 at the very top there, for the preaching of the what? The cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Yet when you read the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the crucifixion, when you read their accounts of Christ's death, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of struck with the utter simplicity to their accounts. You know, there isn't page and page and page and 300 pages of melodrama like you would read in a novel leading up to it and then describing it. In fact, Matthew 27:35 simply says, and they crucified him. And they crucified him. Psalm 22 is a very fascinating psalm because it is written as if the writer of this psalm is sitting at the foot of the cross and he's writing the events as they unfold. But yet, listen, this psalm was written 1,000 years before the crucifixion. In fact, this psalm was written 1,000 years before crucifixion even became a mode of capital punishment. But yet you look at verse 1 and look what it says. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And right away you realize, well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross in Matthew 27:46. This psalm is all about Jesus Christ, and it's about the cross. And what this psalm does, church, is it allows us to actually see into the inner thinking processes of Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross that day. You hear songs that talk about, you know, what was going through the mind of Christ. And people write songs, you know, about, you know, what was on his mind and all that. And most of the time it's songs, it's just conjecture. This psalm actually tells you what was going on in his mind that day when he hung on that cross. It allows you to see into his heart and into his mind and see what he was thinking when he was on that cross. I mean, the only way to know what somebody is thinking is for you to, you know, for you to tell them. I mean, can you imagine if this morning, if I said, hey, we have written out in the lobby, in the foyer this morning, for anyone that may be interested, we have every single thought that you thought this past week. I have a feeling there'd be some quick exits after church. What do you think? But here, the Psalm 22, the psalmist actually writes out what Jesus Christ was thinking when he hung on the cross. And then at the end of the psalm, we're going to see Christ in his resurrection and Christ ruling and reigning over the entire earth. You're going to actually see what Christ was rehearsing before the Father as he hung on the cross. Look with me at verse number 27, please. Verse 27. It says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. This psalm could be broken down into two sections. Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And that's how this psalm is broken down. We see the sufferings of Christ in verses 1 through 21, and then the glory that follows in verses 22 through 31. And he says in verse 27, all the ends of the world are one day going to turn to the Lord and all the kindreds of the nations will worship before thee. But can I submit to you this morning, Yes, one day Christ is going to return to the earth. Yes, one day He is going to come and rule and reign, and all the earth is going to worship Him. But the time to turn to Christ and the time to worship Jesus Christ is now. Right now. Right now. It says in your handout, the time to worship Him is now. Don't wait, don't procrastinate, don't put it off. Because one day when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, the Bible says He will make His enemies His footstool. You do not want to be on the wrong side of the fence when you're dealing with God. Have you ever turned to Jesus Christ in faith? Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? My friend, you desperately need to do this today. You say, why? In this psalm, it tells you why. Number one in your handout, because Christ alone has made a sacrifice for sin. I got to tell you right now, this is very moving, what I'm about to speak about. It really impacted me as I was studying this week. Christ alone made a sacrifice for sin. Why did God the Father and God the Spirit have to forsake Christ on the cross? Look at verse 1. He says, "My God, God the Father, my God, God the Spirit, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" Now, why could not the Father come and help Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. Can God fellowship with sin? Yes or no? Absolutely not. And Paul later reveals, the Apostle Paul, he reveals later on in the book of 2 Corinthians that when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, He actually became sin on the cross. Look with me in your handout at 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now listen, church, the first 3 hours that Christ hung on the cross, From 9 o'clock in the morning until noon, when He suffered on that cross, those first 3 hours, He suffered physically at the hand of sinners. Psalm 22 details for us many of the events 1,000 years before they happened. For example, look down at verse 16. Christ says here on the cross, "For dogs have compassed me." And He says, and that's speaking of Gentiles, the Romans, "The assembly of the wicked," that's Israel, "having closed me." Now look at this. "They pierced my hands and my" what? "Feet." This is written 1,000 years before crucifixion was even thought of. The psalmist writes this prophetically 1,000 years before crucifixion was a mode of capital punishment. And by the way, that's the only verse in your Bible that tells you that they pierced His feet. You see, all the information isn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see, a lot of the information is back here in the Psalms. That's why Jesus said, "Have you not read the things spoken concerning me in the Psalms?" You see, Psalms is a very prophetic book, and it prophesies, as I've been teaching you time and time again. It's a book of prophecy. That's the only verse in your Bible that lets you know that they not only pierced His hand, but they pierced His feet also. Look down at verse number 18. He says, "They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture," my clothing. And of course, we see that fulfilled when Christ is hanging on the cross. They stripped Him naked. They took the clothes off of His back. He's up on that cross in humiliation. And while He's up there suffering at the hand of sinners, they're over here at the beside the cross rolling high dice for His clothes. Verse 17, "I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me." He was so dehydrated that He was hanging on that cross naked. His bones were sticking out from His body and you could see every one of them. Verse number 14, He says, "I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death," He tells the Father. He's on that cross and He's enduring excruciating physical pain and torture and thirst. Remember He said, "I thirst." And then you look down here at verse 12. And he says, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. He's not talking about literal cows at the cross. The bulls of Bashan is a reference to the spiritual leadership of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. He said, they've beset me round. In verse 13, he says, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Jesus Christ was rejected and he was reproached by his own people, Israel. He said, the Bible says in John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. He says down in verse number 6, but I am a worm and no man. Bible says his visage was so marred, you could not even tell he was a man. He said, I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Look at verses 7 and 8. This is written 1,000 years before it happened. And yet it takes the words right out of their mouth. It says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. This is exactly what they said at the cross, wasn't it? Jesus Christ was a reproach of men. He was despised of the people. He was stripped naked. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was reviled. He was taunted. They wagged their head and they taunted him while he was on that cross. He said, I'm a worm. So what's that all about? Well, obviously it wasn't a literal worm. No more than he was a literal lamb when John said, behold the Lamb of God. When he said, I'm a worm, it's interesting, that word is tola. And there was a tola worm or maggot that they would literally take and they would smash it. And then the blood that came forth, they would take it and they would use it to dye garments scarlet. And you know, when I think about the fact that he was a worm, that's a reference to the fact they took him, they smashed the Son of God on the cross. And as the blood poured forth from that cross, praise God, because of that blood, because he was smashed, I can be clothed in the garments of salvation. He said, I'm a worm. But then there were 3 more hours. From 12 to 3. From 12 o'clock noon till 3 o'clock. Where the Bible says darkness covered the land. Not just physical darkness, although it was. But spiritual darkness. There began to be a battle raging. And every spiritual force of evil was there at that cross. These 3 hours would be the worst. Because as Christ would have to literally go in and he would have to enter into that spiritual darkness to deliver us. As he penetrated, as he went into it. During those 3 hours, it would be the worst because the Father himself would have to turn his fellowship from Christ. Israel had forsaken him. The Gentiles had rejected him. And now the Father would have to turn his fellowship from the Son. And as Jesus Christ hung there alone, suffering the punishment that you and I deserve, he did it all alone. The Bible says in 1 Peter, at the bottom of your handout, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Listen, church, he was being made the sin offering on that cross. Never before had there been any broken communion with the Father. There's a startling statement that Jesus makes in John 8 during his earthly ministry. He said, and he that sent me, the Father, is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. He said, from eternity past, the Father and the Son had joint sweet communion. And he said, he that sent me is with me. He hasn't left me alone. But there, at that moment in history, on that cross, all that changed. All that changed. And there Christ alone. I said alone. Alone. Would incur the wrath of the Father against the sins of all mankind. Can you even fathom the spiritual pain and the torture of his soul? You look at verse 1 and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Jesus Christ did no sin, my friend, but yet he suffered and he died on the cross. Why? Turn your hand out over and you'll see why. Romans 5, 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why immediately, see, he cries out in his humanity, why have you forsaken me? But then he starts rehearsing God's word in his mind. He starts rehearsing the plan, and he knows why. And that's why if you read verse 3, immediately he justifies the Father. He says in verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Immediately he justifies the Father. Now look up here. If God is holy, and if Christ is being forsaken on the cross, what's going on here? It's because Jesus Christ is being made sin. Christ suffered our physical death. Yes, he died our first death. Yes, but I want you to understand this morning there's more to it than that. He also suffered our spiritual death, the second death, during those 3 hours when the Bible says in Isaiah 53:10 that his soul, not his body, his soul became an offering for sin. He was made sin for us. He was made a curse for us. That's not just a theology. That became a living experience in the life and in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross that day. As a man, he literally was experiencing and he was suffering in his inner man the transformation that the Bible calls the second death. And it was more than just separation from God, although it was that. It was the full wrath of God on sin. He is literally suffering in his soul what we should experience eternally in the lake of fire. He is taking it right there on that cross. And that's why God had to forsake him. And what he did for us, he did all alone. All alone. What he suffered from the hand of man those first 3 hours, that couldn't atone for sin. Many people have suffered from the hands of men. But what he suffered from the hands of God those next 3 hours, that forever settled the sin question. And the cross clearly demonstrates two things about God. In your handout, number one, the cross demonstrates how much God hates sin. How much he hates sin. Sin must be paid for. Do not get haughty. Do not get arrogant. Do not tune me out, friend. God cannot allow your sin or my sin to go unpunished. Do not think that you're going to stand before God and talk your way out of it. Do not think that you're going to tell God, well, yes, I know I sinned, but look at all the good things I did. No, sin must be punished. If God didn't punish sin, he wouldn't be righteous in his character. And God and Christ knew that on the cross. And that's why he immediately justified the Father. Yes, you've forsaken me, but you're holy. God loves righteousness, but he hates wickedness, the Bible says. He doesn't just look down and frown on our sin. He hates sin. And the cross demonstrates how much he hates it. Because Christ became sin on the cross, the Father had to withdraw his fellowship and forsake the Son that day. That's how much he hates sin. But number two, the cross demonstrates how much God loves sinners. How much he loves sinners. In John 3:16, many of you know this verse, I'll bring it up. For God so what the world? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Does that verse mean more to you after reading Psalm 22? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, we read this flippantly, but oh, how precious. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look with me at 1 John 4:19. It says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Listen, my friend, God could not let us go free unless atonement was made for our sin, and God Himself would have to do it. The Father gave His only begotten Son, God the Son, and the Son freely gave His life. He didn't have to do it. He willingly laid down His life. And throughout Israel's history, God had brought deliverance over and over and over and over again to His people, but there would be no deliverance for Christ that day on the cross. Look down at verse 4. You'll see what's going through Christ's mind. Our fathers trusted in Thee, He tells the Father. They trusted and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee and were delivered. They trusted in Thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. You see, there was deliverance for Israel in the past, but there would be no deliverance for Jesus Christ, God's Son, on the cross. Why? Because His deliverance would have meant our condemnation. Let me say it again. His deliverance would have meant our condemnation. Our sin put Jesus Christ on that cross. Our sin became His sin. And up on the screen, if you'll look at Romans 5, it says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. He took the wrath. He took the punishment for me. For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We can now be reconciled and brought back into fellowship with God. Why? Because an atonement has been made. A sin offering has been made on our behalf by Jesus Christ. But then as we go through the psalm, the second thing we see is number two, Christ alone has defeated death. All of a sudden, the tone of this psalm changes in verse 22. The tone of the psalm changes. And verse 22 is quoted in Hebrews 2:12, and it's speaking of the resurrection. Speaking of resurrection life. Look at verse 22. I will declare Thy name, He says, unto My brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. No longer beaten, no longer bloodied, no longer hanging on a cross. Jesus Christ defeated death and He showed Himself alive to His brethren. Why? Because God answered His prayer. What was His prayer? Look at verse 19. He says, but be not Thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste Thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. I love this. My darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. That's a reference to Satan. For Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Look down with me at verse 24. For this is after the resurrection. Christ says, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath He hid His face from him. But when He cried unto Him, He what? He heard. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Father raised Him up and He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. He spent 40 days after the resurrection making appearances to all the brethren, declaring the Father's name. No longer on the cross. Listen, I don't like seeing pictures of Christ on the cross, really, and seeing jewelry with Him on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. My friend, He's alive and He's leading the disciples in praise for the victory that He's won over death. He's alive. Jesus Christ could completely pay the sin debt of sin through death because He never sinned. So He could completely pay the sin debt that we owe. But then because He didn't sin, He was free to come forth from death in resurrection. So what does that mean to us? Look at verse 26. It says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Look at this. Look at this. Your heart shall live how long? Forever. I want you to write this down. When we seek Him, we live forever too, just like Him. We get His life. We get His life. I want you to look in your handout at John 10:28 and notice what Jesus said that He's going to do. He says, and I give unto them, what kind of life? Eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. If you would, look at the screen up here. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. There He took not only our first death, He took our second death when His soul became an offering for sin. He took the death I owe. He took, literally, in His inner man, what I... And by the way, when it talks about I am a worm, there's another thought to that. You know how the Bible describes a soul that's going through that... a soul that's gone through that transformation of the second death in hell? It says, their worm dieth not. That soul in hell is described as a worm. Jesus Christ said, I am a worm. Jesus Christ took in His inner man, in His soul, what our soul would have to suffer for eternity there on that cross. There He took our death, first and second death. Why? It says, because God wanted to give you a gift. What's the gift God wanted to give you? Eternal life. How do you get it? How do you get it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there any other way to get it? No. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you receive more than just forgiveness of sins. Now, I want you to get this. You do get that. Hey, isn't it great we're forgiven? Amen. That's great. The cross enables God to justly forgive sin. Okay, so when you get saved and you trust Christ, you get forgiveness of your sins, but you get more than that. You see, because of the resurrection, you actually receive the very life of Jesus Christ as a present possession when you get saved. And that's what Paul meant in Galatians 2:20 here. Let's go ahead and bring it up. He said, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm dead. The old Paul and his sin is dead and buried. Nevertheless, he says, I live. I got some life. Well, how did he get it? He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, I got the life of Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. Jesus Christ alone made a sacrifice for sin. You need to worship him. You need to turn to him today. Number two, Jesus Christ alone defeated death. But then number three, Christ alone will rule and reign forever. Now, let me explain this. Stay with me. Verses 27 through 31 are very prophetic. They've not occurred yet. After Christ rose from the dead, there was a 40-day window where he appeared to the disciples. He declared the Father's name among the brethren. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father where he was exalted. And he was given a name above every name. The day is going to come when Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. Let me say that again. The day is coming. We talked about this the last two Sunday mornings. The day is coming when Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. And we saw that back in Psalm 20 and 21. Christ is coming back to the earth. Now listen, when Jesus Christ returns back to this earth, those who spurned His grace, those who wanted nothing to do with His sacrifice and His offer of forgiveness, are going to incur the wrath and the judgment of God. Debbie, if we could skip over to the Thessalonians reference, 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, and 9. I want you to look at this. Look what the Bible says Jesus is going to do when He comes back to the earth. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with what kind of destruction? Everlasting. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. After the wicked are judged and after the wicked are cast into outer darkness at His second coming, believers from all the nations are going to worship and serve Jesus Christ. He's going to literally take His kingdom. He's going to bring it down to the earth. And He is going to be anointed King of Kings over the entire earth. Look at verse 27, and it describes this blessed state. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. In your handout, it says in this psalm, we see the Messiah in three ways. Number one, we see Him rejected. He died on the cross alone, rejected by the Gentiles, rejected by Israel. But listen, because of His successful execution of the cross work, number two there, we see him in this psalm risen. Rejected, but then we see him risen. Declaring the Father's name to the brethren for 40 days. But then number three, we see Christ ruling. He's coming back to the earth to rule and reign. Now look up here. Look up here and let me have your attention. Whenever you read prophecy in the Old Testament, do you know how prophecy saw these events? Here's how it saw it. It saw the cross, boom. The resurrection, boom. He makes his enemies his footstool and sets up the kingdom on earth. Prophecy saw them all happening on the heels of each other. But hidden in God was a mystery time period called the dispensation of the grace of God. And if you'll look at the screen here, you'll notice that the yellow parentheses right here, that is where we are right now. We are living in the time of His grace. You see, prophecy saw the cross, the resurrection, and then boom, the second coming in the kingdom happening, boom, boom, boom. Prophecy didn't see this. Why? Because it was a what? It's a mystery. It was unrevealed. See, God kept it hidden. And that's where we're living today. We're living in this parentheses right here. And the next event on God's timetable is Jesus Christ is going to return in the clouds of heaven. And He's going to receive all the believers in this parentheses time period. He's going to receive us unto Himself. And when that event happens, when we're caught up, which is what the word rapture means, then the prophetic time clock is going to begin ticking again. And in a few short years, all of Psalm 22 will be fulfilled. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you placed your faith and your trust in Him? Why not trust Him today? Trust Him before it's too late. Trust Him before this event right here happens. Trust Him today.